Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do we have a motion approving the agenda?
So made.
I'll second.
Any discussion or approvals, additions to the agenda? Okay. There is no one signed up for public comment. Does anyone wish to? Thank you. Okay, the next item is the consent agenda, which includes a number of items of regular meeting minutes from December 21st, special meeting minutes January 23rd, and approval of warrants. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion of those three items? All in favor of approving as presented?
Aye.
Aye.
I don't think I need to say any opposed if I can see that we all sit.
Fair enough.
Okay, the financial report.
Good evening. We've now hit the Super Bowl of accounting periods. We made it to December. We have 12 months under our belt in 2016 to review. On page one, we have our standard accounts compilation report. Just a little quick reminder. As we know, we'll see in the line items for audit. We don't do the audit, the state auditor does. And they will take up these financial statements that we will then incorporate into the annual report. And those, and we'll make sure that QuickBooks agrees to these financial statements, so we don't have to find things like that, like we did last year, that the books weren't being kept in accordance with the statements. But anyhow, we'll make sure that happens. Anyhow, here we are in December. As of the end of the year, page two, the balance sheet shows the cash assets. Again, just a reminder, we are doing cash basis accounting. And as of the end of December, the court's cash resources are $2.4 million, $2,446,902. The cash basis liabilities, i.e. monies we've collected that are owed to other people, are $33,444. The primary amount, of course, is the leasehold excise tax payable. That represents 3 months of amounts withheld that have been remitted to the state during the month of January. And so on a cash basis, the equity of the port is $2,413,457. And so, and you'll see, as we flip to the next page, we have our income statement on a cash basis for the 12 months ended, i.e. the year December 31st, 2016. And the operating revenues, which are detailed back on page 5, we'll close in a minute, are really quite close to budget, $11,719 over budget. And the primary items there, you'll see property rentals, i.e. parking, is the primary item over budget. And then we've got some normal fluctuations that we'll briefly discuss in a few minutes. Now, with regard to operating expenses, the port is basically, there's $82,958 over budget under operating expenses. You'll see that in the far right column down at the bottom. And the items that, you know, really cause that overage is, and I've summarized some of the numbers myself as I was just analyzing the statement a little bit today. Labor costs are actually, when you group all those items, they are actually under budget by about $11,000. And then the legal line items, compared to what was budgeted, are actually $36,000 under budget. But then we get down to the line start of the public records, legal assistance, the audit, consulting fees, etc. Those items are essentially $100,000 over what was originally budgeted. And then so basically, you've got that negative variance. Then we go down and look at some larger items, the most noteworthy one I would point out is, of course, the sound runner ferry expense, essentially $20,000 that you had to spend. You were all painfully aware of, you know, the maintenance that has to be done on that vessel. And of course, you never know what you might run into, I presume, with boats. And we all know what a boat means in terms of how expensive it is. So, as we see it carried through there too, what the original budget. Repairs and maintenance slightly over budget. So when we, in the totality, when you look at what really happened during the year, labor costs controlled, legal costs, you know, to a degree, a certain type controlled, but then the public records, et cetera, the state audit, you know, $25,000, they're normally budgeted amount that in the past those ran about $7,000 or $8,000. So we spent an awful lot of time, and of course that was kind of a manifestation of the turnover, et cetera, and I think also the level of experience of the auditor. There was, I think, an awful lot of time spent, even though Nancy was here. So we end up during the year with a loss from operations, a far left column, of $155,000 in terms of operating the marina. But then under non-operating revenues, of course, we have property taxes, et cetera. So we'll see that again on page 5, and we'll get back to that in a minute. So we end up with a year on a cash basis, actually in the positive, $64,972. I don't really need to go over to the non-operating revenues again. We had budgeted the Washington Park Boulevard project of $400,000 in revenue. That didn't happen with those amounts. Those will be coming through this year. But, you know, as you look at the port, what happened in terms of its investment accounts and cash balances, actually, it grew from $65,000 of profit was available during the year. After accounting for the other thing to note here, capital expenditures that are treated as an expense, you'll see that line item there, $260,000. And we'll go through that, but those details are in a minute. So, so the port was able to maintain its properties, et cetera, and get started on the covered mortgage, et cetera, place the security system, do a number of things, and it still was able to add to its cash balances during the year. So,
what was the consulting?
That was Mr. Jones.
No, sure.
Oh, okay, that's right.
I believe
okay, got it.
It was worth everything.
Every penny.
But I remember, is that the name?
Worth it by half.
Yeah, Jones
half.
Consulting.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I remember. So. Okay. The next page shows what happened during the month of December. And, of course, we had a big, as I looked at this, I said, how did we lose $86,000 on a cash basis? Well, two line items. And it's really the public records, $29,000. But also then, we have the purchase of capital assets there. During the month of December, $68,000, of which 20 was the Guardian security system, and I know that's been was studied, and you folks certainly analyzed the options that were presented, etc. And then basically most of what we see out at Mike Wallace Park, the Tacoma tent, I see that must be some work on the tent, $8,700. So again, the balance is really we have monies relating to the engineering for Moorage, Kitsap County for the permit for Moorage, et cetera. So the Moorage project was getting going. So basically, yes, we had a big cash basis loss during the month, but $68,000 of that is really capital expenditures that we expense. So you know, yes, it got my attention when I look at it after the fact. Okay, it makes sense. Their budgeted numbers, etc. So we have a loss from operations, cash basis, $86,000, and then we've got some non-operating revenues, a little bit of property taxes that came in. So during the month, we did have a cash basis loss of $82,617, but certainly, again, the money, there was money that was spent on upgrading the facilities of the port, etc. So the next page, we've got our whole year of activity to look at revenues, and we spoke every quarter on the transient mortgage budget variance, and that continued to carry through to the end of the year. Property rentals, again, parking over budget, I see. Parking over budget, so parking $30,000 over budget in total. I think fuel sales, if you look at the margin, about a 20% margin, it's under budget simply because price of gas fell. Kept maintaining the same margin level. Well, guess what happens to the gross profit? It goes down. And of course, the state doesn't think we should be presenting these together. They think, but I don't know how you monitor what you're doing with your gas sales without looking at that. But, you know, that's that was the big complaint they had on the financial statements, that we had not presented the gross revenue separately from the costs and only presented the gross margin there. So we will do the annual report like they want us, so that won't be a finding in the future. But I still think for monitoring purposes, how do you know what you're doing without looking at your gas margins? So, non-operating revenues, of course, down there we have the Washington Park Boulevard project budgeted at $400,000. There were no revenues collected related to that. Property tax receipts, $5,300 over budget. Interest income, well, finally we're starting to get some earnings on our investments, but they're still in the 1% range, very low, under the state investment pool. So those non-operating revenues certainly way under budget, but it's certainly explainable by the fact that we didn't have the grant revenues coming in 2016. Next page is just a detail of the revenues for the month of December. Again, nothing unusual here. We have to do some bookkeeping for the change in cash accounts that are related to tenant deposits, et cetera, and advance payments on accounts receivable. Down at the bottom, that's that $2,400 that you see, because cash balances can change by things other than simply the revenues we collect and the expenses paid, i.e. someone comes in and pays us a deposit, that affects our cash balance, and et cetera. So the next page shows what was originally budgeted in October of 2015, the original budget, and then what actually was spent related to the budget during 2016. And these numbers are reconcilable back to the page 3 income statement. Basically, you have to remember to remove the $210,000 that was simply transferred to the marina replacement remediation account. If you subtract that from the $475,000 plus a few bookkeeping items, you'll be back to that $260,000 number that I spoke of earlier. So this gives us the budget where the monies were spent. Covered mortgage, $114,000. Christmas lights, $10,000. Washington Park Boulevard project, that the monies will then be billed and collected during 2017. You know, timing difference, we spend the money, send in the voucher for the grant, etc. We've got the Ventec machine, that was parking related, as I recollect. There's a security system. Oh yes, we had seawall repair early in the year, I remember, all those things. So this gives us a good history of what actually we spent on port assets during the year that were charged to that line item of $260,000 that sits in the income statement. Finally, we accountants like to, as I've always said, we like to prove our cash activity, and so we take the balance as of the end of November, that was in the last month's reporting package, $2.5 million, and then do some accounting for liabilities collected, and then in existence as of November, December, and then the net loss for December that we just talked about gives us our ending balance that ties back to our balance sheet on page 2. And so this is our overall proof to say, all right, did we do a proper accounting of cash transactions to be able to take the beginning of month balance, change in liability accounts, and then come up with the ending balance. So it's more of a control, but at the same time, I would not feel comfortable here without having that in front of me saying we've accounted for a thing properly.
Questions on any of these items that have been presented?
I had a couple of minor questions. One is on the list of capital expenditures. Mm-hmm. There's a $358 expenditure for office building remodel. I thought we had determined not to capitalize. It's about the second one up from the bottom.
Mm-hmm. No, I think we're under $5,000. That's the start of the project overall. There will be substantially more.
So that's just the first
That would be the design, the permitting expense stuff?
That was the design, so the initial design of the building.
Okay, so that's just the first step in a bigger project?
Yeah, first bill.
That makes sense.
They would get that, they would say if we started splitting invoices and keeping it under the threshold, we would get some more input.
We'd get some more input from the auditor's office.
Yes.
Okay, second question, and you maybe just save me looking in depth through here or going back to last year. When I look at the statement of assets, it's on page 2.
Yes.
Is there anywhere in what we have in this month that I compare that to 12/31/15, or do I have to go back and get that one out?
Yeah. We've essentially, we haven't rolled it forward from last year.
No, just so I can see year over year.
Right.
We were here a year ago, and we're here now.
We'll be doing some of that in terms of our reporting. Our reporting package will be changing this year with more comparative information. And so, but the answer to your question is no, I don't have that directly.
Okay. I was just trying to figure out how we did for the year.
Yeah. Well, again, our cash basis profit, but there could be some other things that roll forward. But our cash basis profit for the year was, after spending the money on capital expenditures, et cetera, was the $64,972.
Okay.
That's what it should be, in that range.
Okay.
There would be reasons, changes in deposit accounts, etc.
Okay. That's all I
had. Until I prove it.
The rental variance of $30,000, that's parking.
It's
all parking.
So is there something more usage, or is it the higher fee, or what
is
it?
The more usage, the higher fee, and more tickets.
Okay.
We have a dedicated person that's first thing every morning. That's what he does.
Also, isn't that new machine more helpful in generating, or not? I mean,
yeah, it's just another station, but
okay.
I think it's more use.
And we're going to go forward without Diamond.
Yes.
This as of now. So then, just for my probably forgot. What's a pump out park grant?
So that was to fix our pump out systems. We got all new nozzles and all new
pumps. Oh, okay. Got
it. So we got a grant from State Parks to fund those, but so we had to be accounted for somewhere.
Sure. Great. Just curious.
Ongoing maintenance that they pay for.
Good.
Anything else?
I have nothing else.
I have nothing else.
Thank you.
So just to add on to that, Juanita wanted me to give you this statement. We started back in August to come up with where we spend our money and what part of the report we spend our money. So the top page talks about all expenses as far as buying stuff to fix things. The second page really deals with just employee costs. So you can see they're broken out by administration, marina, parking, the park, and lease space.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually really telling for me because I would have thought we would have spent a lot more on the park, $27,000 in labor.
Do you want us to leave the comments is this the way we're going to report going forward?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can feedback to you if we have a chance to look this over and compare it to what we've been getting.
Okay.
Could you describe what each of those five components are?
So administration would be Sam, myself, Juanita, and running the office, basically. The marina would be the two people up front, Crystal and Jeanette, along with Austin and everybody else that work primarily in the marina. The park is obviously park maintenance. We split out Christmas because I really wanted to know what the Christmas lights cost us. And you can see we spend, besides the $10,000 capital, we're also spending $10,000 employee time to do those Christmas lights. And then the last one was leases, and leases is basically parking, anything we do for state ferries, anything we do for the yacht club.
So I see the hours are broken out for Christmas, but how does that relate to the highlighted money under park?
Good question. I really don't know. I wish Juanita were here to explain that.
Okay.
But I can get you that information.
That would be great.
When you're allocating staff time, Bob and Ray, I'm just thinking of particular, or Steve, are they kind of split between Park and Marina, or Steve and Bob a lot of Marina and Ray is a lot of...
It just depends where they work. They have a timesheet every week they need to fill out. It says, I spent this many hours here, and then Juanita compiles that.
Okay.
So every one of our people can do multiple tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So these are the hours, the hourly employees.
Right.
And you're in admin.
I'm in administration. Juanita and Sam are all, three of us are in administration.
Okay. So it doesn't include temporary people or
no.
people like that. We don't have them now, but we would have them in the summer.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So in the summer, how would that end up looking? How would you handle
it? I don't know.
Okay. I've got that.
Very good question for Juanita.
Yes, okay.
She left and put this on my desk. Could you pass it?
So these line items, that would be the same aggregate number of line items, maybe they're combined, as we have in the current report.
Right.
Yeah. Some may be folded into each other.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
I think this is going to be really, really helpful to us.
Mm-hmm. And what you're looking at is the QuickBooks report by what we call classification. And so the great classes, of course, you can allocate expenses, and those totals are what you see in the financial statement.
So okay.
This would not include is the cash flow. Does it include capital? How is that folded in?
I believe it does not include capital. This is just operating.
Okay.
Because she basically used the QuickBooks chart of accounts for these, and capital's not in that.
So the staff involvement in capital projects like building the park. And, you know, and that, would that be a capital or an operating?
It'd be capital.
That'll be capital,
yeah.
Okay.
And then this first sheet here is just the 1 month of cost, is that right?
Right. It's just December.
Just December. So are you looking at as we go forward into next year and we start actually getting a whole year under our belt and that of giving us a cumulative of
you're
that as
in,
well?
In July, you'll get a year end for the whole year. What we've spent.
Okay.
So, yeah, that'll give us a whole year from August 1 to July 31st.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think that's going to be a really helpful tool.
It would also probably be helpful to understand how much staff time is going to the capital projects.
We'll have some big ones. You know, with the covered mortgage and with the
park. Yeah, really, Bob is the only one involved in capital projects right now. I'm doing everything with the park. But Bob is spending quite a bit of time on covered mortgage. He is that project manager.
And I was thinking when we start moving boats and we start doing moving land, you know, that's...
And in the past, when they were rebuilding docks, as what I recollect, employee costs were actually being capitalized that time and added to the cost of the asset that's being improved, et cetera. So
we wouldn't have a list of capital expenses for the month?
We might.
Because if we decide to buy something, because we've been kind of having this list of here's what we bought this month. Jim's staff car, for example.
Oh, it's a staff yacht.
Oh, the staff yacht. Okay.
It's underwater.
The one that's underwater. Okay, so I guess maybe that, but we'll get back to you, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, any suggestions you might have to make this a more useful document for you, please do it. And then next month, you will be getting our new report that's going to show why he was doing it. It's a percentage of budget. So when you look at January, you're going to see we've spent this percentage of our annual budget. So you can get a little better idea of how we pace ourselves through the year.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Will that have incomes as well as expense percentages?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I hope you pass on our appreciation to Wendy.
She's really looking forward to this next thing on the agenda. And that's a 1 o'clock meeting in the afternoon, so she can make it here and not have to feed her children at night.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any more on that?
No comments from me.
Okay.
Nothing more on financials.
So let us move to action items. The first is the resolution to cancel warrant 31880. And
I move that the board approve resolution 0101217.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
This is a really good example of the types of auditing that Juanita is doing. Although small, she audits every check twice. And this actually came out because we were billed twice. We wrote a second check. She made sure that it didn't go through. Now, the check had been cut, but at least we caught it before it went out. So that's great.
That's great.
That's wonderful.
Do you want to explain the resolution, Jim, the next one? I got ahead of the agenda.
Why don't you introduce it?
Is there a resolution 0102217 to revise commission meeting schedule? We've had some discussion about this, and shifting from 7 o'clock to 1 o'clock, so, which I think the concern that we raised was whether or not community would be able to come to meetings, and we talked about setting it up so that there were specific hearings that were in the evening when we had topics we wanted to make sure we got public input on. Did you want to say further about that?
No, I just think that from a staff perspective, especially hourly staff like Samantha and Juanita, this will work better as long as it works with the community and the commission. And engaging and seeing the meetings we've had in the afternoon and the evening, we haven't really garnered any more from the community in either or. So we're just recommending that our traditional monthly meeting be in the afternoon. If we're going to do a public hearing, we'll schedule an evening meeting for that public hearing so that we can get more attendance.
To the extent possible. So the first one would be the February 21st would be at 1 o'clock.
And if I may make a correction,
yes.
That states February 21st, and I believe it should be February 22nd. I updated my phone, and it shifted my Monday to be Sunday and threw my whole world off. So,
so Wednesday, February 22nd.
That's correct.
So is there a motion to adopt this resolution?
I move we adopt the resolution with the one typo correction to read February 22nd, 2017 instead of February 21st.
I second it.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion?
You can come to the Rotary lunch beforehand, which goes from 12 to 1 on Wednesdays.
In the interest of one of our reasons for doing this, I wonder if the chair would check to see if any of the present community members here have thoughts on this before
What a very good idea. I would appreciate any comments from the floor, and thank you, Bruce, about the idea of changing our meetings from 7 o'clock to 1 o'clock. Same day, different time.
It'd be fine with this public as long as you can work around the rain clouds.
Did you have thoughts about that, reactions to that idea? No.
Hey, you're going to come then when I want to come.
Mike? Mr. Chesmore, did you have any thoughts about moving the meeting from 7 to 1 in the afternoon?
Doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
I just like to get a bigger crowd in here.
Well, that's really what we're hoping to try to do by moving it to an earlier time.
How you all doing tonight?
Good so far.
So far, so good.
And did you have thoughts about this idea?
The only thing I can really think of is 1 o'clock, everybody's still at work. That's about all I got.
Yeah, we seem to be in kind of a conundrum between, you know, people who are working are still at work, and those same people are probably, you know, home feeding their families or having their own dinners at 7. If there was a universally convenient time, I'd love to go to it. I would suggest on our 1 o'clock meeting schedule, we try it for a while. And we see if it does generate more public attendance, and maybe we try and solicit some input and revisit it after 6 months or a year, just to see if it's accomplishing what we want. It doesn't make a lot of difference. But I really hope that we can get some more public attendance.
I do too.
I'm thinking that what you said, that if we have something of public interest that people want to comment on or aware of that, then we find a way of moving that to the evening, either by having a meeting after that in the evening or a separately scheduled one. Like, let's say there are rules and regulations and people want to talk about those changes or whatever, that we set up and advertise it properly so that people who are working, who want to comment, can comment. So I see this for being like routine business meetings, kind of like what we have today. Go ahead.
Yep.
For like the normal like workings that you guys normally do, so that, you know, 1 o'clock is fine. But like for public input, it'd be nice if it was like later in the afternoon, so then people who get off at 2, 3, 4, or 5 or somewhere there can make it.
So I'd be interested in knowing, relevant to this, whether each of you came for specific topics.
No, it's been 15 years since my last board meeting, and I just kind of started to take an interest in it.
And sir, would you mind your name for the record?
Jesse Reniker, J-E-S-S-E, R-E-N-E-C-K-E-R.
Thank you.
Is this the forum now for public comment?
Well, we opened it up to have conversation about this topic.
Okay, this probably isn't the topic, then I'll just wait.
Okay. So what I've heard, I think, is a proposal that we try this for 6 or 12 months and see how it's working. We may know sooner than 12 months. It may be obvious that it works or doesn't. And stay attentive to topics that may be of general interest that we want to make sure we do a special hearing on, mm-hmm. or a special meeting mm-hmm. set up for public comment. Is that
yes, that's mm-hmm. I think captures it.
I think that's right.
I could offer a comment if you
go for it.
I come to, when I do come is to listen to Jim talk about what's really happening in the court. I can see the financials online, but if Jim could maybe put more in the website to say, here's what's really happening, here's the status of this, here's the status of that, so that people can kind of understand what's happening, and then come and ask more questions about it to get more people involved in the court. To me, that would be helpful. I don't know about the rest of the people, it's just...
I'm trying to do the executive director report, which is in the packet online, but I haven't been very faithful in doing that. But you're right, it's a great, great idea.
So that's kind of what we look forward to is your report would be online, and someone could say, I want to comment here, Jim.
Okay. And that's something that, if you would like, we can set up a blog-style format on the website that's more of a quick and easy reference for users to take a peek in, and that's something that we can translate that executive director report into a blog style format that's easy to follow and reference.
Sounds good.
Okay. Excellent. So, do we want to revise the resolution to reflect this being a trial period?
I don't see that that's necessary.
I agree. I don't think it's necessary. I think we can. We can always revise it 6 months or a year, depending on what we learn. And I think we could just approve it as a change, and then if we need to make further changes, we can always do that.
And making sure that the minutes reflect the issues that were brought up and the provisos on how to make this work.
And if I may, just in the interest of, you know, the Durable Meetings Act, filing with the Secretary of State regarding the meeting schedule is an official order of business, and that's why we do need to enact it by resolution. Normally, the deadlines for meeting schedule submissions are annually. End of January, January 30th is the deadline this year. This will be in for that deadline, but I would like to just put it on record that if it does come up that official change, so that every meeting thereafter, if shifted, doesn't have to be considered a special meeting, because that's what was issued to the Secretary of State, doesn't need to happen. I will look into that, and I will confirm that if we opt to revisit it in 6 months, there is a chance that we would have to notice every regular meeting as a special meeting, just in light of that change to follow the legality. So I'll double check, just based on what I was reading. But I've been reading a lot, so I might be getting confused with something else.
I appreciate your being on top of that, Sam. I think that we'll just have to look as we get into mid-year and see whether it's worth that hassle to switch back or whatever. But, okay, so is there a resolution, a motion and a second to adopt the revised commission meeting as proposed? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. All right, so the next agenda item is a resolution to adopt Employee Achievement Bonus Award Program. And Jim, I would like to ask you to talk a little bit about that, because it's innovative and I'm delighted to see it.
Sure. Thank you. So we talked about this last month, I believe. I really want a mechanism to really reward outstanding employees. So this isn't just gives people money, but it's an idea that we can give people a bonus without raising their salaries. In doing research, that technique is not legal. It's a gifting of the credit of the state. However, there is a provision in the RCWs that allows you to do specific goals, and if the employees achieve those goals, they can be compensated for that on a one-time basis. So there's a program called Smart Achievement, which is a way of having employees and their supervisors create goals for them to achieve. So the form that I passed out last month, the employee picks two goals that they want to complete in the next quarter, and their supervisor picks one goal that they need to complete in that quarter. And if they successfully complete those, they would be awarded a nominal bonus, one-time bonus, which we're looking at and we budgeted for about $500 an employee. So we have roughly 9 employees and we have $4,500 in that budget for that kind of stuff. So in working with our attorney, going through the program, making sure the forms were proper, institute a program like this, it will be ongoing, so there won't only be this year, it could be next year or following. So that's what this resolution outlines.
Do you anticipate a quarterly bonus structure? So say that the $500 number that, you know, is kind of rounding here, they would be eligible for up to $125 per quarter, or would it all be in one quarter?
I'm envisioning it all in one quarter. And it's $500 maximum per year. So if the employee doesn't complete his goals in the first quarter, he has the ability to move into the second quarter to complete those.
Okay.
He will not get his $500, or she will not get her $500, until they've completed those goals successfully for their supervisor.
Okay. Is the $500 per employee limit part of the RCW, or is that part of the program, or
part of our budget?
Yeah. Do you think there's any need to write that down somewhere?
Well, I wanted to keep it flexible. If next year we can't afford $4,500, or next year we feel really flush and that should be $1,000.
If it gets to there, I'll quit this job and get a job.
I wanted it to be a program that has some longevity to it. And if I kind of said 500, it would lock us in, I think. But obviously the commission approves the budget.
I appreciate, we had some discussion, so I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I just want to ask one question. Has there been a legal review?
Yes.
Okay, so.
I worked with Carolyn to put this together.
Okay, great.
Any more questions? Any more discussion?
No, not really.
Okay.
I move to adopt resolution 01032017.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay. So now we turn back to old business, the Port of Kingston rules and regulations, proposed revisions and additions for Title I general provisions.
Sam.
So I received comments and published information right now. We're in this slow process of taking a look at the port's rules and regulations, and those are the policies and procedures that govern a user's activity and behavior on port property. So it's not something that is designed to establish policy for employee or administrative action, so, you know, kind of inter-office stuff. This is just for the user's understanding that, no, you can't throw a gallon of oil into the trash can. It's that kind of stuff. So what you'll see in the agenda today is it's Title I, and it is the general provisions. So it's all of the provisions. It skims the surface. It's the basic user. You can do this, you probably shouldn't do that, and oh my gosh, don't do that. It's that list for users of the port. After Title I, we will have anywhere from, I think that I'm probably going to be working on an additional three titles to go into the rules and regulations, and those will go into the details of how to conduct oneself on port property, as it relates to the marina, the fishing pier, Mike Wallace Park, so on and so forth. So what's in here today includes comments received from our commissioners, providing input from experience, and it's a compilation of all of those recommendations to best meet the needs of our users and enforce proper and legal operation of the port. So that's what we've got. I'd be happy to go over more detailed additions to the general provisions if the board would like. I have brought my notes. Or if there's any questions after further review, I can incorporate additional comments for another meeting or workshop. Or I'd be happy to compile a list if there's some curiosity afterwards to provide. It's really just...
Yeah, I think it's best if we let them digest this and make any other revisions. If we had looked at doing track changes of this is what Walt said and this is what Bruce said, and it got so complicated, we said, so Sam and I spent over an hour yesterday kind of going through and saying, what did we really want to say and what did they really want input on? So if you could read it now and let it, or not now, read it this week and let us know any other changes you might like as we work on the next title, which is going to be the marina, which will be in-depth marine operations.
Can I assume that the substance of the comments were incorporated?
Yes.
So there may be jots and tittles, but because we're not Solomon here, so, you know, you took what we said and you incorporated. I think it might be at the stage where we could post this on our website so the public can start looking at it, describe the project, and then so the general public can look at what we're considering if they want to feedback to the port as this process moves down the road. So I feel if you've incorporated the big picture of the input you got, then it's ready to see if we can get a broader audience interested in commenting.
That's great.
Could we do a press release that this is on the website and that we are seeking comments?
Sure.
And Does the board think that I, when I post this, should I include a little breakout on each chapter of this title that will let members of the public know there's more to come, this isn't it, if you don't see, there's no details on the boat ramp here where you'd expect to see it, that's because it's coming in Title II. Do you think that I should add a reference?
Just do a preface up front, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's a good way to address it.
I think there's another step after we get done with this process. I think we need to prepare a summary that succinctly lists how people will be affected by the changes, because there'll be quite a bit here, and there's a lot. So, and that would go out and be posted so people could then comment before public adoption. But really to kind of say, well, this is what's different than what we're doing now, because a lot of the stuff incorporates maybe better words what we're doing. But at some point, okay, public, here's what's going to change, and we've got a month to put in your comments before adoption. But that's later down the road. That's probably months down the road.
Probably needs to be really carefully thought through and reviewed and from the user's perspective, because I may just never have read these, and so I may not have any idea what we're doing now and what's new. If it's not covered, it may seem new to me. You know, so I agree that'd be useful. I just think we need to do it very carefully.
Sure. I was kind of thinking of the volume here, and then somebody wants
absolutely.
To know, well, what's different when I go down to my boat or when I go to the park?
Interestingly enough, there's really not a lot of changes.
Yeah.
It's just organized better, and it really reinforces what our policy has been all along. We've had bits and pieces here and there, but now it's going to be in one document. We really haven't proposed any major changes to operations.
That was my sense of reading, that there was a lot of cleaning up, redundancies or slight inconsistencies in two or three different places, or unnecessary definitions because there was already a defined term that covered that. So a lot of it is streamlining and cleaning up, not so much as substantive changes to what the rules are.
Well, there were administrative changes on how you go about things, but that's staff admin. It doesn't affect the general public because it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's just how you make changes and how you execute.
It's just adding more detail to these rules and regulations to better explain to the public and to our users, why are you guys saying no? You know, it gives a little bit. We had a gas station egg salad sandwich, and we turned it into a pastrami hoagie with this one. This is, we added the beef. So.
Does the chair get to weigh in on whether it's pastrami or egg salad?
As long as it's not bologna.
Okay. Well, this represents a tremendous amount of work, and I really appreciate what's been done here. Okay, so the second element of old business is the Heartland teleconference discussion.
Commissioner Elliott,
I miscommunicated. I thought we could combine that briefing tonight, so we wouldn't have to do one tomorrow.
Oh.
So that's kind of what I was thinking about.
Gotcha.
So we wouldn't have to have a separate special meeting, but that's okay. I withdraw the agenda item unless we want to talk about it. Okay.
Well, actually, I would like to talk about how you would like to. The email to me was he kind of wanted to get together with me to do the mechanics of how we move it forward. But if the commissioners would like to be involved, we'll have to figure out a way to do that through a teleconference. I had said in my email, if one commissioner wants to come up to my office, that'd be great. But getting three of you in my office, I don't think it'll work.
I think it'd be good to have periodic updates on how the process is going. And this may not be one of them. So maybe commissioners stay away now. But at some point, we get a milestone discussion, particularly if they're looking for direction, guidance, or something like that we haven't discussed before or wasn't part of the contract.
Well, next Friday, Task 1 will be complete, and you'll have a report from them on Task 1. So I will make sure that you get that distributed to you so you can review that, and that next meeting could be important for us to respond to Task 1.
It's February 3rd.
Is that going to be what do you mean we will get it?
They're writing up their report right now for Task 1. And I will forward it on to you as soon as I get it next Friday.
Okay, so we could meet the following.
Right.
They want to present it.
Right. You could. They're not going to come to present it, task one, and then review it, and then we'll set up a special meeting telecon with them to go over.
Okay. That would be
discussion of it.
Like the 6th or 9th of February.
Sure, okay, that makes sense.
What do you expect this teleconference with them to be?
It's going to be how we're going to engage the public to get to the meetings. They've sent in that email a postcard that they've done for another operation. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk about the mechanics of how do we communicate with 4,000 Kingston residents. So it's going to be the nuts and bolts of that.
I'm comfortable with you doing it and representing the board on that matter, unless there's something different than what we discussed. We had a discussion back in November where we talked about mail-outs and all that. And unless it's markedly different, I think I'm okay with that plan.
Okay. So that's their revised schedule. I'm sorry for the small type, but I was out of big paper. So you might need your magnifying glass.
Yeah, a little advance warning would be nice here. I've got what I could bring.
I suppose the only guidance philosophically that I would be interested is, typically in Kingston, you really have to poll to get the information because people have a lot to do. So we kind of got to think of who can't get to the meeting but's an important stakeholder and how do we reach them. Because, it's just people got a lot to do, particularly for commuters and catching the boat. So think about how we pull the information when people don't show up at meetings, you know.
I might be able to create a special page on the site that it is a poll page pretty much, so it can provide maybe some guided multiple choice answers where we can establish some ideas on opinion and then comment sections that can be submitted in form style.
Sounds like you've got what to do there.
I think.
We could put an article in the Herald, too, and so. But I've seen that a lot in Kingston. Only very few people show up, and typically the target community, the millennials, they're too busy.
This reminds me of the conversation that we had a couple of months ago about you preparing a column that was what's going on at the port, and we're sitting here generating things that'd be nice for people to know about.
It's on my radar, but I haven't done it yet.
Have you ever thought about, we did a little bit earlier, about ask the public what they would like to hear in these meetings? Because I know you guys have your special meetings every Monday, and I've been to a couple of those, and I know you talk a lot about that. A lot of the stuff that you're doing now is administrative stuff. You're trying to figure out what you want to do and directing the policies and the direction of the port. Well, I'm not sure the public always wants to come to a meeting and hear that. If you have your meetings at 1 o'clock or whatever, and then if Jim would take all of the things that you have decided to do, maybe even once a quarter, do it at night, so that people can come in and really have a dialogue to say, okay, you've decided to do a bonus program for the employees, and here's the status of this, and here's that schedule. And you guys do a lot of things that we don't see, like the revised schedule that you're looking at now. So we're kind of in the flat back here, and it's kind of interesting to watch the interface and the discussions, but personally, I don't get a lot out of it because I can't even see it. So as a suggestion, to get the public involved, maybe that would be a way to get more community involvement once a quarter or something in the evening or whenever people can come. I'd love to see 40 people in here. We used to have those. But the subject back then were a little bit more comfortable.
We don't want to go back there.
No.
Would it be useful, audience, if, for instance, this revised schedule were projected so you could see what we were talking about?
It would help us. It would help me. I don't know what you're talking about.
I was just looking up and thinking that same idea.
We use the other room. If we took two rooms, we could do it.
Seems doable.
Yeah.
This is really useful. Thank you.
I'm hearing sometimes some ports have like listening meetings, where it isn't really a business meeting. Rather, it's an opportunity for anybody who has something they want to say on how the port's doing or ideas to come forward.
I don't know too much about the structure on them. Sometimes it's in coffee houses, sometimes it's in meeting rooms. But that is another dimension of maybe what Ron's talking about. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd love to have a one-to-one dialogue with the community and all of you if you wanted to come, but open this up as long as it's controlled, where you can really tell us what's happening. And say, wait, why are you doing that? What's the logic behind that? We just kind of don't have a good grasp on where you're going. I appreciate all the stuff you're doing, but it's hard for me to interact and be part of the community when we look at our government, the board. I don't know, maybe I'm kind of different. I'd like to be more involved.
We know you're different, but maybe you're not different on this topic.
You're special, let's put it that way.
Special.
Me too.
And so are you, and so are you, and so are you.
I wanted something to say.
Yes, we will.
And I don't get my point quite across very well because of a traumatic brain injury. I don't know if there's something covered under the Disabilities Act, but I really had something to say, and I did want a forum to say it. I still can't figure out when to get my foot in the door here. It seems like public comment was on the beginning meeting. Mm-hmm. Pardon me for interrupting.
That's okay.
And if public comment's at the beginning of the meeting, even with my notes, I can't get the word in at the beginning of the meeting to make the meeting from another meeting in Suquamish.
Got it.
I'm not a busy person, but I just think I have a few things that need to be addressed. You know, I'm trying to figure out when should I address it without disturbing the meeting.
One of the things that we had done in the past that we could consider revisiting is, in addition to comment at the beginning of the meeting, having a public comment session at the end of the meeting.
Wow.
So that you could, anything you missed or comments on what was already discussed could be addressed at the end. And I think we're still going to do that tonight so that you have an opportunity to bring up your issues. So, and we just have a few more things to get through at this point. What are your note, Jim, asked if there was anyone of us that was interested in participating in your teleconference tomorrow. Ted, are either of you?
Well, I'd like to go, but I think I don't want to. I think Jim would be better not having less hands in the stew. Basically, I was kind of thinking. It's my sense from you is you want to work things out with them, and I think it gets kind of complicated if you got more.
It's more having the three of you there complicates a lot.
Right.
So
we'd have to notice it in the paper. We would have to have room for the public to be there for a teleconference that's really an operation teleconference. But if one of you would like to be there and just hear it, I'd be happy to have you there.
I think that's kind of awkward. I think we should just stay away and let you brief us on what happened. Give you some guidance ahead of time if there's anything you want.
Yeah, I think we had a pretty good discussion about that whole public process, so you've got a good sense of what the currents are. And I don't feel a need to be there. So
we could communicate. When are you calling?
It's 1 o'clock tomorrow?
10:30.
So we could send you any thoughts we might have on that beforehand.
Sure.
So that you would have it.
That'd be great.
I think
Sam will be in the meeting, so she'll be taking notes of what we talk about, so you'll get a few full.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay,
so it's been changed from 1 p.m. to 10:30?
I'm very confident that it's 10:30 tomorrow.
Okay.
I thought for sure it was 1 o'clock.
I could be wrong, because it's on one of my posts.
Let me see.
It's
not. Is it 1 o'clock?
Is it 1 o'clock?
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, Executive Director report.
So, Ron, this is it.
That was quick.
What you came here for?
Give your listening ears on?
I did.
Okay. So, in an effort, like I said, I haven't been very good at doing this, but I'm going to try to be better. I want to go down what's happening at the court. And I list a bunch of stuff here, and I can go through, and I'm open to any questions you all might have. But one of the reporting covered mortgage, it's going really well. As you know, we've let the contract for that to sea level bulkhead builders. They actually started yesterday doing some repair on the upright columns, so that's moving forward. We don't have an overall schedule of when they're going to actually start doing ripping the roof off, and because they've had to order glue lamps and beams and all this, the roofing, which could take another 4 to 6 weeks to get. So what they're doing now is prep work. But that's going really well. What's been interesting is seeing Craig Powell, who is doing a great job, and John from PND work together to do value engineering. Craig can say, well, what about that, John? How about if we do it that way instead? I can save some money and time, and John will review that and let him know if that's doable. And, but it's been a nice partnership, the two of them working together to give us a better product. The Hill House rental has been a much more difficult task than I thought. We've gotten very few bites, and the ones we've gotten have not been very, very good. So my new idea, I will call him Sonny Woodward to see if he can put me in touch with someone who might be a good rental agent that has a, you know, a Rolodex that might help us rent them. So we may have to go to Plan B and actually get someone to help us who has a better grasp of the community and the community's needs. Working on that. Washington Park, I had a great meeting with RCO this week. Explained to RCO our situation between the county permitting and the county road construction on Washington Boulevard. It's really put us in a pickle as far as how do we complete that project and not have to rip the street up twice. So they were very receptive in listening, and they granted over the phone a six-month extension. It's something I don't want to do. We have till November to complete it of this year, but it's something where we don't have a gun to our head if we don't. Talked with Tim Beachy from the county, who's the project manager on the county side. He believes that they'll be doing their construction in that time frame, so there's a good chance that we can do all of Washington Boulevard together instead of us doing our project and the county coming in, ripping it up, and doing it again.
What was that time frame again, November?
So that's our current contract is the end of November this year, and we have till the end of June next year. So 2018, we have June 18.
So when is Mr. Beachy doing his project?
In the first quarter. Okay. So he'll be doing it in January, February, March of 18.
Oh.
But this is not the complete streets work.
Yes.
Yes, it is?
Yes.
So that, does that, was your sense talking to him that they have any anticipation of reviewing the design in light of the fast ferry?
No. They're moving full speed ahead. They've got funding, they've got an engineer on board, and they're
talking about pushing this back a year, basically.
Well, 6 months.
To this time next year.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't want to do that. I'd really like to get it done this year, but I don't know if I can get out of permitting in 6 months. It's been pretty slow.
Well, that can go forward.
Right.
Pardon me?
Permitting work can still go forward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're still moving forward with all of that. But we are, this will be our first bill, Dennis. It's going out this week. We're billing $25,000 to RCO. So we'll be getting that income probably in the next 2 weeks to 3 weeks.
Is Beachy pretty firm on his schedule the first quarter, or is that a slushy date?
He thinks it's pretty realistic.
I guess
they're in permitting right now themselves. They've got an engineer on board, and they're moving forward. It's a pretty small area. You know, they're just doing that element of Washington Street. It's one way, so it's not going to really affect the ferry traffic all that much. But
make a little nervous because it's another budget year for the county, and you never know, you know, how they're going to shuffle things around. Okay.
Bank loan for covered mortgage. I believe I alerted you in one of our Monday morning meetings. There's an RFP on the streets to lending institutions. We've also put it on our website for proposals for $1 million line of credit, basically, for the covered mortgage. So those are due February 1st, and as soon as we get those proposals, I'll send them to you all so you have that information. Again, we're going to structure it so we don't have to take the full $1 million, but it would give us that ability if we needed to on a draw basis during the construction period. Met with the Yacht Club the other day for lease negotiations. We're moving forward on negotiating a new lease for the Yacht Club. I believe we had a great meeting, and I don't think we're very far apart at all. I think we're thinking the same thing. Parking is obviously the issue, and I floated the idea of flexible parking, and at least the two representatives I had there were very receptive. And what I promised them I would do before we finalize and take all this to the commission is I would come to the Yacht Club and explain the concept and get the membership to buy in on a flexible parking concept, and then bring a whole program to you for review. We're looking at a 10-year lease, probably breaking it up with a 5-year lease with a couple of year options to make it a 10-year lease.
If I'm not mistaken, their current extension has another 18 months or so to go on it.
Right.
So we're not, again, we're not under any pressure, but we're just trying to get it done early.
Right. The the lease we're working on is a 15-year-old lease that was designed, I don't know who it was designed. Have you read that lease? It's a bad lease.
It is, yeah.
So
I hope we didn't pay a lot for that work.
Yeah. So, Carolyn and I have worked together for so long, and we've developed a lease template that really works, and I've got a copy of that, and so I'm working with a template that I've used for a number of years, and I'll bring it in for your review. But it's simplified, but yet it has all of the key points for that. And I think, like I said, parking is really the only obstacle we have right now, and it's really not an obstacle. Mm-hmm. I think we can get around that. We were all at the Sail Kingston Cove meeting the other night with U.S. Sailing. I thought that was a great presentation. And being a kid who grew up 4 years old sailing boats, I think it's a worthwhile project that I hope the community can embrace. I was a little, it was a little tough when I found out that the school is not a part of it, because I think it's going to be harder for the port to work with that organization if the school is not a part of it.
Yeah, I didn't understand that, because they hire a coach at North Kitsap. The sailing coach is paid for by the school district. Well, all schools are in the school district, so how does that differentiate for, so I think there is a blessing if it can be part of the school system, because basically the cost of using the system. I think Poulsbo and Silverdale both have arrangements with school districts for usage that we could probably mimic or fall in behind to figure out how do we fit a high school team separate from the other program. But I think that's also from what I heard a year down the road. They are not ready at all for that, but it may give us some flexibility if we can be part of an interscholastic high school affiliated program as opposed to being part of the Kingston Cove Sailing. Yeah.
So just for you all to think about, staff has been brainstorming about how to accommodate an expanded sailing program. And as you know, Sail Kingston Cove is kind of in the corner of the marina and kind of stuck in the back corner, and it's difficult. Staff and I have come up with an idea of possibly moving the kayak float and moving it over by the fuel dock. Hmm. There's a big area of water there that is not being used. And if we could somehow move kayaks there, it would expand that area over on the dock. So next time you're walking around, look at that and be thinking about it. I can show you if you want to stop by. I think it would really expand our water access.
And it's underutilized space right now.
Okay.
So the issue would probably be the permitting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'll take longer. I don't know if it's applicable, but the funding that Silverdale got for their high school sailing program float, they got a grant, and I don't know if it was RCO or whatever, but it might be worth looking into it. They did that. It's for the high school team, and they built it there. You can see it when you go down there. The only problem with those grants is that I think you have to have public access to the facility, which would beg having that sailing float over by the fuel dock instead of behind a gate, because I think that's one of the criteria. Just throwing it out there.
I'm thinking of 10 opties coming out as a Bayliner's coming in.
It's not pretty. I was thinking about the high school program. In any event, that's the glitch. The glitch is we have gates, and when you have a public grant, then you can't have the float behind a gate, I think.
Sure.
And so what would the permitting aspect of this be?
Well, we'd have to obviously drive a couple piles, and I'm going to present to you next year a pile program to start replacing some of our creosote piles in 2018's budget, we could just permit two more piles for that float. You'd need some kind of a float for the gangway to rest on, but that's really all you need, two piles in them. Wouldn't be a lot.
But we're changing the shaded area.
Yeah.
So that may be, okay, you got to put a new float to have light translucence. Yeah.
It can be. Mm-hmm. And then, Ron, I know you refer to the piece of ship out there.
The pile of ship.
Just wanted to give you an update. Spoke with DNR. You may have seen me out there in the boat yesterday. They wanted more pictures. I told them that the boat is falling apart piece by piece and floating into our boat ramp. We did go out and take pictures. The cost is, they were dumbfounded. The bids came in at over $200,000.
didn't I hear that?
In that project dive area out there?
They won't allow it. So they went back to bid, and what they're going to ask the bidders to do is just float the boat and get it to Port Townsend. They're going to put it in the shipyard in the back corner and let it sit until the next biennium. Because the difficult thing is the asbestos on the boat and the disposal. So anyway, they're moving forward. They're getting new bids. I think they got them yesterday. So hopefully in the next 2 weeks, you'll see people out there actually moving that boat out. I question whether it's going to start falling apart once it gets raised, but we'll see.
There still is a auto shame on there. We sent a drone out, and I guess it's been going on since December 9th. Mm-hmm. You've noticed that when you went out?
You know, when we went out, that there wasn't an auto shame.
Well, there are two drones that went out there, and both of them saw that auto shame.
Yeah.
And I don't know, when you put that boom down, it doesn't fall. And the tide goes out because the boom gets all...
And the wind, it'll just blow it right over the top of the wind.
Yeah, and I guess people aren't used to putting boom around low tides when you get down. But I don't know if there was an intent to put sponges in there or absorbers or not. It's still leaking, and the DNR ought to know that.
Yeah.
How significant, I have no idea.
We also noticed that the black boat was moving. So I know that's your tackle, Mike, on there. So. we went out and reset the stern anchor because it was dragging.
You guys would like help setting that property, I'd be happy to help you with it.
So, yeah. So
the other vessel can be floated.
Yeah.
I can float it. I could have floated it that night, but he got all wishy-washy about it. So I just did a punch of pilot.
Right.
What's the condition of the wild wind?
It's floating high. I mean, it doesn't seem to be a problem. I'm a little concerned that some of the hawse pipes are bent over pretty well, and I'd like you to go out and look at it, Mike, if you get a chance, or we can take you out there.
Yeah, I can go out there tomorrow after last.
Yeah.
So the DNR is aware of that, and
they're aware of it.
By law, that he's supposed to move that every 30 days.
He's already turned it over to DNR. So he's turned over both boats.
So the DNR has custody of that.
So now
Port
DNR
Townsend
doesn't know what to do with it because they don't have any money.
Fort Townsend probably wants that too.
Yeah, right.
Just don't tow it to Kingston.
Anyway, just to give you an update on where we
are. I like put low bid on both those jobs.
And then the last thing is Mary saw it today, but if you walk by our office, you'll see it looks like a crime scene. There's paint on the ground. Bob was out actually doing all the measurements for the new office.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see where the office is, and you can see the projected patio that will go out in front of the office that will be very, very nice.
Could you talk, there's a circle. If you go and look, you'll see a circle. And I asked if this was for a hot tub, a statuary, or a pond, and you said a fire pit. And initially I thought that sounded wonderful, but how will that be used? I mean, what's your vision of that?
This was staff's idea. They actually drew the fire pit in there. And it's got some merit. It would have to be heavily controlled for special events. But for yacht club gatherings and stuff, it could be actually a really nice area to sit around. It'd be gas. It wouldn't be wood. But we'd have to think long and hard about how to utilize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I got to
I think there's some briefings at in MTA or whatever, where they show it, a fire pit, maybe one in, mm-hmm. in a San Juan Islands or whatever, for visiting boaters, and it seemed like other people doing this, so there may be some experience there.
Again, just to try to get more activity, more people using the port in the park.
Yeah.
I would want to figure out how we could use it for Kingstonites in addition to visiting boaters.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that is a really good example. We do those for the lights.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, yeah.
Or concerts.
I mean, and concerts.
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Some of those concerts are pretty chilly.
Yeah. So that's great. Yeah.
Anyway, just creative.
Yeah, thinking. I just was a thought I had. Cool. Can
you tell us what you're talking about?
Please, thank you.
So,
yeah.
So, I'm proposing that we expand the port office. It will be a downstairs expansion that will be for customer service. I'm a big ADA advocate, and I can't believe that we've had an office for 25 years on the second floor, not ADA accessible. So I want to make sure that we can get the office and take care of our customers downstairs, and then upstairs will be administration, which will be accounting and Samantha and myself in a conference room that the commissioners can use to meet with constituents. The expansion's pretty modest. It's 900 square feet, so it's not a very big expansion. I thought while we're doing that, it'll be just one story. It'll be a shed roof going up to the second story of our existing office. It'll tie right in. But out front, I really wanted to make that welcoming for visitors. So there's a patio that's about an 800 square foot patio that will be out front of the office that may have everything from the large Adirondacks chairs that are over here that might be fun for people, to a fire pit, to just get people to enjoy that common area space.
You know, showers or saltwater storms. So the restrooms stay as is?
Restrooms stay as is. They're going to be remodeled. There'll be new doors. And how they will be accessed is there'll be a causeway behind the office that allow you to get into the laundry room and men's room. And then, of course, the women's room is the other side.
So are there, I mean, this is news to me. I guess I haven't been coming to these meetings.
It's because you always leave early.
We wait till you
leave. I mean, the public would like to know this kind of stuff.
There are sketches, and as soon as the architect gets done, which should be next week, they will be up on the website, the proposed drawings.
Great.
So it is in the budget, in the capital part of the budget. So if you read the budget, I think we budgeted $150,000 for the whole renovation of the whole office.
Yeah, but I didn't think you were serious.
I never joke.
So can we ask, are you so nope. We can ask questions?
About anything?
Anything?
Good.
But
I brought up a question about building ourselves a dive area like Edmonds, the mm-hmm. port of Edmonds has, to encourage divers to come in and spend their money in our port. The other thing, we used to have a Christmas tree, actually two evergreens growing out in the park area. Nobody asked the public if they could cut them down. What do we pay for someone to run out and go through trees and have a tree cut down, have a truck here, the Tommy lift, put it up, pay to take it down and haul it off? Is that cost effective to having a real tree there?
Probably not.
Mill that around later to get back to me.
Okay.
Go green. Here we go again. Let's go green before it came through. Stop dumping my grass clippings and brush trimmings in the dumpster and send it up to compost to someplace. We can build a community compost for the port of Kingston and have people come down whether they want compost and take however much they want. Or, oh, what the heck? Why not sell it to them? The Hill Rental, what's that, $2,500 a month? Rent it out for $2,000 a month. Make $24,000 a year. Pay the taxes on it, and it's a win-win.
I agree.
If I talk anymore, I'm going to stick my foot further in my mouth and choke.
No, thank you.
Those are good ideas.
Good ideas. I think we should talk about that tree thing because it's timing of when you do that. But I think you're talking about bringing a tree big enough that you could light. But there's a lot to be said for that.
There is.
You know, it'll grow.
Yeah, every year.
It is a, just so you know, Mike, it's a great contribution by Craig Powell, who brings that tree in and erects it for free. So he doesn't charge the port anything as a community service. So, mm-hmm. But the tree does cost, I think it costs us $300 for the tree.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ron?
I guess I'm going to ask a question that maybe you can answer next month or sometime in the future, but some of us are pretty concerned about the legal activities that the port's undergoing now, and it would be nice if you could update us at least as far as schedules or what. I've asked these questions before, and I know you can't answer a lot of them because it's a legal issue. I forget the terms that you guys use, but it would be nice to keep us apprised of where you are. I'm very interested in what Endurus covers and what the port's going to have to cover and what our legal costs are racking up. And I guess when the adjudication or whatever is going to happen, I think I'd kind of like to be able to put all that together and understand what's happened and do the best I can to kind of see what's going to happen in the future. It's a grave concern to a lot of us because I guess a lot of us feel that we own the port. We're the ones that pay taxes, and you guys kind of are special, but you have to work for us, so you at least ought to tell us what's going on as owners of the port. Well, maybe that's true, maybe it's not, but that's the way I
feel. Not a lot of people know that we own the port. A lot of people think that the port is a separate entity.
Wait till you do your tax bill.
That's very true, but the fact still remains a good portion of the port. If you ask them, they think, well, no, the port, they run themselves. They get paid by running all the posts and rent and so forth.
So, Ron, two things. One is Samantha publishes a schedule on the website every month. Court dates are on here. They just today moved the court date to February 10th, so that will be the hearing, penalty hearing. It is on the schedule and it's on our website, just so you know that that's there. Also, in our budget that you have a copy of there for the year, it shows you exactly how much we've spent in legal fees throughout the year.
Right.
Just so you know, that the two cases we're talking about, Endurus doesn't cover any of it. This is all important.
Are there other, you've got more than just the two OPMAs. Are there others that are going to have to be covered by the port, or is that Endurus? And
we don't know. We really don't have another case on the books right now.
I thought Connors had.
It hasn't been filed yet.
Okay. Will that be covered by Endurus, or do you know?
There will be. They will pay some of it.
Yeah. I can answer some of that without getting into too much detail. The wrongful discharge claims are insured, but they have a higher deductible than, say, a slip and fall down on the dock.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason Endurus does it that way is because they want the agencies they're insuring to have more skin in the game, as it were, on issues that they can control, like employment. I believe the deductible, the last seminar I attended for Endurus, they said the deductible on wrongful termination or wrongful discharge claims was $20,000 on a slip and fall or on like the discrimination claim that was filed against the port a couple of years ago. I believe that's a $1,000 deductible. Okay. Endurus expressly does not cover Public Records Act cases. That's an exclusion in their policies.
In your estimation, I guess that's not totally appropriate, but the premiums for Endurus, I would imagine, will probably go up, or do you have any history that you can reference on?
Well, our premiums did go up last year, but we're part of a very large pool. So any one individual agency in that pool will have, you know, things up and down over the years. I don't know that there's much direct correlation between claims against us and what our rate is. It's more like the big picture, claims against the entire pool and how big is the pool.
Our rate is often adjusted when there's a risk assessment periodically to go to the port and see, expected, so it's a bigger picture than any particular events. So they'll come in periodically and review the port and say, well, we've got the right risk and we've got the right assets. Often it's a change.
As an individual port or just pool?
No. Endurus will come. They did once to look at the port and look at our assets and look at our risks and reassess what our fees should be.
For example, I think on that, if I can interrupt, I think what they did was they looked at the volume of boats out there and the types of boats out there, and they said, we don't think your coverage is high enough given the risk that you have with the boats that are there and the volume, the number of boats.
That's different than the history of
right. Losses. That's what Walt's talking about, that our rates are more than just history. Our rates are the entire asset base is being insured, as well as the entire pool of insured agencies.
It's also probably worth noting, back to your earlier question about timing, that the February 10th date is related to the first PRA case, and the second public records case is scheduled for November.
Why, this is the third time, as I understand it, this first hearing has been delayed or scheduled. Why?
Judges have complete discretion and control over their calendars.
So it's the judge?
It's the judges rescheduling things.
Other questions?
I had some questions to add to the executive director's report. Is the time?
Sure. Well, let me just finish this so we can. Any other questions here? Or comments? Cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, go back to the executive
director.
Okay.
Just some wrap up. Wi-Fi upgrade, or is that on track for?
So, as part of the Guardian security camera system we just bought, we had decided that we're going to take CAD 6 line. I don't know if you all know what CAD 6 line is. It's the new computer line that they use to interconnect things. And because we have over 1,000 feet of run, copper cable is not real efficient.
Okay.
So we made the decision to go with fiber optics. So with that, we bought 1,000 feet of fiber optics, and we're going to not only go throughout the port all the way down to ADOC, we are also going out all the way to the end of EDOC. And at the end of EDOC, the end of the EDOC roof, we're going to put an antenna on the top, which will cover the whole port.
So we're on track for that after the...
So yeah. A lot of it is just infrastructure upgrades we can't do with copper.
Okay, great. You talk about purchasing a Spirit tent. A spare tent.
Yes.
Is that on track, or is it? Just wondering.
Samantha can talk to that. Her and Ray went out to inspect the tent, and it was in worse shape than ours.
Okay.
So that's killed that one.
Kill that one. Okay, got that. Express and Pinnacle. How is that going?
We had a chat yesterday, and he's at the convention, passenger ferry convention. And he said it's prominently displayed on their booth, but we have no offers yet. He said he's had a lot of interest, but no people don't want to come look at it yet.
Just one thing. I ask this once a year. See if we can get our clean marina flag. They keep promising it every year, but we never get it.
What flag?
Our clean marina flag. We qualified a couple of years ago. And then the only other one was we had talk about maybe sending a letter from the port on WPPA conference topics. And I don't know if we've done anything about that, but the idea of trying to have parallel sessions so small ports wouldn't be dealing with the big green elevators and all those folks. And I don't know, I think probably if we're going to send it off, we should do it near rather sooner. I don't know who's got the lead on that. Or does anybody? Is that us?
No, commission? We'll draft a letter for you.
Okay.
Okay, the spring meeting, see if we can segregate that or have concurrent sessions.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I have.
Well, while Walt's following up, I just had one follow-up question that occurred to me. When I was in the other day, you said the state auditors were there doing their routine leasehold tax audit. Any results from that yet or any feedback?
We're going to... As you all know, the state auditor was here this week auditing our leasehold tax returns. There was one small hiccup, and we were charging the farmer's market leasehold tax. And he said, basically, we don't have to do that. If they just come in on a Saturday and set up their tents, they're not there for 30 days. So there should be no leasehold tax. Well, we've been doing this for 5 years. So actually, they're going to refund us $438, I think, which, of course, we've got to refund to the farmer's market who paid this. So that's the first thing. One of the other hiccups we had is 2 years ago in 2015, Sale Kingston Cove paid, but they didn't pay leasehold tax. So that amounted to $93. So the long and the short of it, the port owes $93 in leasehold tax to get a clean audit. They were small little things. They weren't a finding, but he was very thorough in everything we do.
Okay, good.
So those are both related to the leasehold tax. Okay. Anything else on the director's report before we turn to staff?
Just on, is when's Caroline going to be with us next?
I thought she was going to be here today. I'm surprised she's not.
We could probably cover that letter from the Corps of Engineers in Kitsap County.
Yeah, I'll find out
what the next steps
maybe,
are.
Maybe Monday she can just chat with us over the phone on that too.
Okay.
Explain it to us if that fits her schedule.
Okay. So Caroline on the phone on Monday. So. Samantha, have you any comments you would like to make?
I distributed the calendar of events for February 2017, so everybody does have a copy, and that includes all potential events that one or more commissioners may attend at the same time. We may not be, you know, they're attending official business, but there's a chance that they'll all be there. That's why we post it. So that's available online to the public. And if there's any changes or additions, let me know, and I'll get that taken care of. Let's see. Last week, I attended the North Kitsap Tourism Coalition's marketing meeting, the board did meet afterwards. I was nominated to the board, and an official vote will take place for my approved seat on the board for the NCTC at the next meeting, which I believe is February 16th. So that'll be a really awesome way for the port to get tied into the tourism aspect of what's going on here and the community, and I'm looking forward to it. So, and that, I think that is all.
You are working on the annual calendar for the commission.
Yes, the annual calendar I'm in the process of working on at this time, in checking with the agencies that we would normally go to for yearly schedules. Those haven't been posted yet. I would say mid-next week, if WPPA the Marine Trades Association, if they don't have their annual schedule posted yet, I'll start calling representatives and see if I can gather a little bit of information to give us a guideline for the year.
Even if they don't have the entire year, whatever they did have, whatever
exactly.
You were able to pull together would be helpful.
You got it.
So, okay.
Is NKTA a news organization?
The NKTC?
The North Tisa Tourism
Coalition.
Coalition.
Yeah, they do the Sanctuary Shore. So it's different than Visit Kitsap. It's a tourism.
No, I was wondering, we don't pay dues for them in our budget, so I'm just wondering, are they a dues organization?
Yeah,
or?
I talked to them about that. They really aren't an individual dues organization.
Okay.
However, they would love to have a contribution from the port.
Of course.
They get most of their money from LTAC money and the state.
Okay, just wanted to know whether we were... obligation that we hadn't planned on.
Certainly the Point Casino is a big contributor.
Sure.
Yeah. The big guys.
I think OBG is a big contributor as well.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
One last thing, let me pass this out for you. No decisions, but I wanted you to see Bob's work on designing the new gates for the marina. That's just one of these. Bob would like to come to the meeting on Monday. and present this to you. I wanted to give it to you to review. We still feel strong that the gate should be on top of the gangways. So this is his conception, and certainly want to get input from you all. But he'll be at the meeting on Monday just to kind of talk to you about it.
Okay. So if anyone in our audience has an interest in this, they should appear Monday as well?
They certainly can. This will be posted on the website as soon as we get a little farther down the road. This is just conceptual right now.
Great.
Just so you know, they will be anodized the same color as the fence, so they're not going to be a big silver thing sitting there. They're going to blend right in with the fence.
So how far do the wings go back? 48 inches, but at an angle.
4 feet at an angle.
So they'll go back far enough so you can't climb on them from the rocks to the brow?
You might at low tide, but like I told Bob, if you have a 6-foot rubber inflatable, you can be on any boat in our marina. So as far as security goes...
No, I meant where the riprap is kind of high,
yeah,
and where you could just go over the railing.
You might be able to do that. It's a deterrent. It's certainly just a deterrent.
Okay.
Anyway, I like the roof idea. We went to Paulsbo. Paulsbo has new gates on their marina. We went and looked at their gates and talked to the contractor that did that to get some ideas. So that's all I have.
Our next regular meeting is Wednesday, February 22nd at 1 o'clock. We'll start the new program meeting at 1. And I think with that, we are adjourned.
Actually,
motion.
You skipped commissioner reports, and there was one thing I did want to mention.
I'm sorry. Joe, you're right.
All ports. Yeah, the All Ports. Yeah, I went to the All Ports meeting last night right after the Sail Kingston Cove. And... The one issue that probably got that came up there with the broadest interest is there was a proposal a number of years ago, and apparently several of the ports worked hard on coming up with a uniform set of rules that would then be adopted by all the ports in Kitsap County, with the goal of having the county adopt that set of rules as an ordinance, so that the sheriff could enforce that ordinance on port property. Even though the ports are public property, the sheriff can't enforce rules on there arbitrarily, just like they can't go into your home and order you to do something or order someone to leave your home. You have to tell them, I want you to order this person to leave. The idea is that with the ports, if somebody from the port calls down and says, hey, we've got somebody down here who's causing a ruckus and they won't go away. If the sheriff has a deputy available to come down and enforce something like that in the midst of all their other priorities, then there's the whole issue of did the person there have actual knowledge that what they were doing was against the rules? If not, the sheriff can't really do much except maybe escort them off the property, but you don't get to the point of being able to give them a trespass notice unless they have knowingly violated rules. So the discussion last night was largely led by one or two ports. We have a couple of commissioners who are highly frustrated with people, loitering, maybe sitting around in the back of a pickup drinking, smoking, doing drug deals, whatever. And a number of those things don't take the port involvement. I mean, if you've got an open container out there, the sheriff can enforce that. If you're doing a drug deal, the sheriff can enforce that. The upshot of it from last night was that, and then Sheriff Boyer was there to talk about, or Sheriff Simpson, catch up here, to talk about what they can and can't do and what would have to be done. I don't think that there is enough interest among the ports now to try and have a uniform set of rules that could then be enforced. Each port could have its own rules, post a sign as to what those rules are that you want the sheriff to be able to enforce, enter into an agreement with the sheriff's department to respond and enforce those rules, basically authorizing the sheriff to enforce them. and then they could do it. But the ports are so different in what we do and what our basic rules are that having one set of rules for everybody, I don't believe it's going to work. I think there were a couple of other ports there who had the same idea. There were probably six ports represented last night out of the 12 in the county. So I don't think that idea is going to go very far. But if we wanted to have the sheriff enforce any of our rules, we would have to go through that process on an individual basis to where the signs would clearly be posted as to what was the forbidden activities, and the sheriff, we'd have to have an agreement with the sheriff in place to come in and enforce those for us. I'm not sure that we have the kinds of problems that the sheriff can really address. To me, it struck me a little bit as, a shotgun after a mosquito kind of thing. We do have problems. We have vandalism, we have drug deals, we have drinking, but we can't be the policeman for the whole place, and some people are just going to do that. So I throw that out. I don't know how you guys feel about trying to walk down that path at all.
I think Jim said that the rules were so detailed that they had proposed that they were incompatible. It wasn't like some big umbrella rules that they're incompatible with what he proposed. But you proposed that.
Did I give you the Kitsap County Code? So in the Kitsap County Code, the Port of Kingston is the only one that has rules posted already.
Yeah.
So we're already ahead of everybody else. But we're the only port in all of Kitsap that has our rules.
But the sheriff made it clear.
What's going on West Kingston Road, and that's the Port of Kingston on West Kingston Road.
I think that those rules aren't really ones we enforce anyway.
No.
But the point was is the way they're written now, I heard from Jim, correct me, that would be incompatible with what we're going forward with. So it's not a good fit unless it's radically changed. Now, having said that, a couple times in this you say that you will expulse people from the property. Well, our staff is not trained in that, so we would need some vehicle to get the sheriff to do that for us. And if we need something from something between us and them, then we need to put that in place. Unless we hire some really big
fire security agents. But like one of the things the sheriff pointed out, if in those Kingston, Port of Kingston rules that are adopted by the county, it says no swimming in the marina.
Right.
And the sheriff made clear that he's not going to come down and arrest someone for swimming in the marina. I mean, and haul them off to jail. I mean, that's the sort of overkill problem that I think. I don't know when those rules were put into place in the ordinance.
They were put in place when the marina was built. So I assume that maybe what have happened is the waterfront property owners said, if you're going to build this marina, the dates are the same.
Is that right? Okay.
So but they're obsolete. And they
And maybe the best thing to do at this point would be to just quietly talk to the county about rescinding that list of things so it's not out there.
No cruising in the marina.
No cruising.
If there's no swimming in the marina, you don't need the ladders.
That's right.
You need them for somebody drunk falling in the water.
Well, we could have them arrested for swimming in the marina.
What I'm wondering is, should we go back through the new set of policies as they evolve, and anything that says will be just pull out a list of everything that we say we're going to expel people from the marina for doing?
If in executing of these rules we need to call the sheriff, we should do what you said, which I think was we'd get to the sheriff's office and say, mm-hmm. We just want to make sure we can call and get some more of that. I think that's a very good point, Mary. Yeah.
So as you go through developing the policies, would you keep tabs on anything where we're talking about throwing somebody out of the club?
Of course. So if it's prohibited and then the repercussions of doing that, if it's expulsion or fine or what have you, I can classify those out so that we know which ones would be enforceable.
Cool.
And one thing to keep in mind is, going back to the last chamber lunch where the sheriff's community relations officer spoke, and he laid out the pretty clear list of priorities and how thinly spread they are. So we should really consider, you know, they're going to go after crimes in progress and serious crimes, you know, over other crimes, and, you know, they've got their list of priorities, domestic violence, you know, and disturbances down in the park are not going to be high on their list. So we have to keep that in mind, that just because we have this doesn't mean that they're going to be able to send somebody down here to take care of it.
What I think it brings up is that if we don't have someone who can enforce throwing somebody out of the park, we probably need to have a conversation about what are we going to do if there is somebody that is breaking those special rules.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we should say we're going to physically remove people if we can't. So we should say it some other way, or whatever we can do. Certainly, if there's violence going on, you'd always call 911.
Right.
But we need to be thoughtful about that, because I don't think staff should be taking physical actions.
No.
You'll keep track of that as you
want. Right, right. If at any point that's insinuated in the language of the generals, then I'll take a second look at it and just make sure it's...
Flag those.
Yeah.
Great. So is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
There we go.
When the federal people...